going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike Squidbilly, Miss Allie Mack hanging out with us her first day. She got the new shoes on, new outfit. No big deal.
First
day of school.
My husband bought them for me.
Oh, I know where they came from then. I know where, man. Grant shops. Or old school Grant. Grant used to buy me
DSW
shoes.
DSW or something.
No, Grant's an amazing value find shopper.
Absolutely.
Is he?
He goes to Marshalls and like TJ Maxx and stuff.
For sure.
And he found me a pair of Florida Gator Nikes one time. How every team comes out with the custom. What?
I'm sorry, what?
Don't
he
you
found
know
a
how...
pair of Florida Gator Nikes at
okay.
Marshalls?
All right, stop acting
it's
like
it's a great
you don't...
source.
Oh, I agree. No. That's
you don't
not
know what I'm
just shocked
about.
That was there.
Yeah, I know. But Grant found him in like Buckhead or something. I'm telling you, Grant is one of these people. And Allie, back
thrifty,
me up here.
Huh?
I'm wearing LeBron's from Ross Dress for Less.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
From Ross Dress for Less. Oh, I love that.
Dude, Mike,
my purse is from
is
Five your
guy.
Below.
If you've got something you want to find, you're like, hey, if you ever come across these at Ross or Marshall's, Grant's the guy to put on that because he is very good at that.
Can I tell just a very quick Grant story because this is very relevant to what we're talking about right now?
Sure.
So Grant was obviously host from the Diamond and obviously our Braves insider and reporter. He was hosting from the Diamond before my show yesterday. I did an extended version of the Hometown Take. So Grant and I were talking in the bullpen, and I knew Grant collected baseball cards and was a heavy collector of baseball cards. I also did not know that Grant collected toys like vintage G.I. Joe action figures.
Seriously.
And things that it seriously. And he was showing me like all the stuff he's collected and talking about how he wants to, you know, we talked about earlier, Allie and Grant moving into a new home.
New
and
digs.
He was talking about how he wants to like decorate with the airplane stuff he has. And I was like, man, I just found out a lot of interesting things about Grant that I did not know. It was awesome.
So until he met Allie, he was Steve Carell from 40-Year-Old Virgin. Is what we're saying.
Yes. No.
I'm not going there.
No. But I will say with our move, a lot of his memorabilia and collectibles are becoming unearthed for the first time for me to see.
There's nothing better.
It's unbelievable to see all the stuff.
He's going down memory lane.
Yes. Allie, ask Amy about that because where I'm broadcasting from right now, she literally, when we moved from a one-bedroom in our condo in Buckhead to the house we're in now, she experienced the exact same thing about the unearthing. That things I had just shipped to my, had to my parents and stuff. And she's like, where did all this crap come from?
Yeah.
It's like last night, Mike, we're watching in at Talladega before we left for Cancun's. And I said, hey, you know, 10 years ago today, we were at that race and Dale Jr. won it. And she goes, really? It was 10 years ago? I go, yeah. I said, the car's right there. And she goes, how do you know that's the car? And I said, because I literally bought the car that said race winner 2015
spring Talladega race winner. Probably has confetti on the diecast.
It does.
Yeah, there you go. Look, man, it's a fun show so far. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Hopefully you're keeping it between the mustard and mayonnaise out there on the interstate as you head into work and keeping it safe. A lot of, obviously, conversation so far about the Jax Ulbrich Jeff Ulbrich, Shedeur Sanders saga. Also, a lot of draft stuff going on. We'll have Tony Pauline on at 8:20. Dave Archer at 8:40. Also got a CBS Mornings bit during Mic'd Up. You guys are not going to want to miss this. Allie's going to tell us about this one time she dated an old guy.
News to me.
Yeah, big pause. No, just kidding. We're going to dive back into this NFL draft stuff. And Bo and I have been going back and forth, for the last 3 days, because we're so excited about Jalen Walker. Let me give you guys the rundown real quick from top to bottom. At number 15, the Falcons selected Jalen Walker. We all know him. We all already love him. With number 26, you drafted Edge James Pierce out of Tennessee. They traded back up into the first round to be able to get him. They gave up next year's first rounder for that. Third rounder was safety Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. Fourth round pick number 118 was Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma. And then your seventh round pick to finish it up on Saturday afternoon was offensive tackle Jack Nelson, number 218, and he is out of Wisconsin. We've gone back and forth about grades. I don't think that's not something I do post-draft. I think there are outlets that have done this. We talked about the AJC putting out a grade of C+, which is frustrating to say the least, because the national pundits, almost for the most part, all have you at A-, B+, or B.
Other than Mel Kiper, who made a mockery of himself over the last four days.
He really did make a fool of himself over
Well, and the biggest part was he couldn't even follow conversation. There was a conversation going on about – kind of moving forward and where everything goes with Shedeur Sanders, and he just kept hammering these points. At one point, Reese Davis was like, that's not what we're talking about. But anyways, yeah, I think we have to understand that there are certain people in this city who just want to be negative, and that's their prerogative. That's their agenda. I'm frustrated with it, especially knowing some of these people and knowing that they're really good people, but that's the hill they choose to die on, and the way they choose to go about their business, that's them. I will say this. Warren Sharp put out, who's one of the best analytic numbers guy in sports.
Love Warren
if not
Sharp.
The best. And he had the value. The Falcons had the best value of actual picks taken and how they got them as anyone. There is a guy that we trust on this radio station, and he's an Aussie insider. He's one of the NFL Network, Brian Baldinger. And Dylan, cue it up, because Baldinger talked about, before I get to the third-day picks, could be steals of this draft, but Brian Baldinger talked about the fact that he thinks the Falcons could be the most improved team after this draft.
I said the Atlanta Falcons, who only had 5 picks in this whole draft, but I think they really nailed the picks. They traded back in the first round. They needed pass rush. You look at what they have been doing, Raheem Morris, and their inability to get to the quarterback a year ago. They go out and get Jalen Walker with the 15th pick. Like, this guy is an athlete. He can come off the edge. He can play inside linebacker. He is a playmaker. So their draft started with Jalen Walker, and everybody congratulated him. I don't think anybody thought he'd be there at number 15.
They didn't even think so.
Well, there you go, Steve. And so he's there. You can't help but just go, he's a Falcon. But they weren't satisfied with just one. They traded back into the first round to get James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, who has elite traits and instincts from size. He ran that 4.47 speed at the combine in Indianapolis, and his speed shows up on film.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And to your point, you traded the first rounder for next year for James Pierce. I think Brian Baldinger nails it. It's like, dude, and this is how I felt about this all along, and you guys can back me up if you feel this way. If not, tell me. I look at it, and I'm like, okay, that first rounder matters if you're a team that's really in flux and is like, you know what, we might have to go get our quarterback next year. That's not the Falcons. You're not going to need a quarterback. Or, hey, we need to go get our edge next year. Obviously, you're not going to need an edge. You're not going to draft an edge next year. So we're not going to be in that situation. You also just signed Jake Matthews to an extension, so you won't be looking for a first-round left tackle. I'm fine with them getting rid of next year's first-rounder for James Pierce right now.
Yeah, I said this earlier, and I said it on Saturday, and I want to say it again for everybody. To me, they went about this draft as a team with a plan, and their plan was, look, I think all along that they wanted James Pierce Jr. at 15. That's who they thought they would be there. And I'd heard some of that from people, from sources. I also think, though, that doesn't mean that team wouldn't have traded back in and gotten their second choice at pass rush.
I agree.
Because they never thought Jalen Walker was going to be there. They took the approach of this draft, and if you look at it, there we could be sitting here heading into 2026, and they got 4 starters at the 2025 draft. because Walker and Pierce, Xavier Watts to me is going to be a starter, I think, day one. But that doesn't mean that Billy Bowman can't be a starter in the nickel position, because you're in nickel. I mean, how many times do you start a game in that position? Nickel is a starting position.
Nickel's your base defense.
Yes.
Like we can talk about 3-4-4-3. You're going to start nickel. Like it's not. There's no need in talking about our base defense. You're starting in nickel.
Well, whatever
you're
going to
run a 4-2-5 or whatever else. You'll be in nickel.
Yeah, whatever you run 70-80% of the time, right?
Yeah.
So to me, though, the philosophy was, let's be aggressive at all costs. Let's be aggressive, because we couldn't be aggressive in free agency. We could not improve our team in free agency. So we have to go get starters in this draft, guys that we might have to make moves for, which is what they did with Watts and Pierce.
Yeah.
And then next year, we might have less to work with in the draft, but guys, we're going to have more to work with free agents-wise. We have more money with the cap. We are going to be able to extend some of our own, which will even free up 2026 money to work with in free agency. Let's be aggressive next year in free agency to spend money that we didn't have this year, and this year we'll use draft picks that from next year and accommodate, so we can get 3 to 4 starters out of this, which may have been the exact accomplishment. Not to mention, you could have maybe gotten a swing tackle for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Jack Nelson in just a minute. I had to do I did a 92.9 The Game reaction video on him, but I want to steer back towards Xavier Watts, because you and I obviously did a show Saturday. If you guys listen to the morning shift, we were on Friday morning. We got to talk about the first round picks. We did a show Saturday, but if you did not get a chance to hear that, the resounding response to the Falcons trading up to get Xavier Watts in the third round of this draft, and you talked a little bit about it. Was it Ryan Clark, who obviously his son knows very, very well at Notre Dame? There were so many people that were applauding the Falcons for jumping up and getting Xavier Watts. I watched his tape. I was aware of him, but I watched his tape, Bo. And I got to tell you, man, he is a ball hawk in every sense of the word. This is Jesse Bates at the college level. Now, the third round stuff, you'll knock him for – you know, man coverage skills or whatever else is out there. But when he's playing that deep third, buddy, he's all over the place. He's got his hands on a lot of footballs.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to knock him, then I'd love to see Nick Emanuwari play man coverage. I don't think that's happening either. And you said it to me when I was talking to you. I think we were off the air, and you were like, yeah, well, tell me a safety you want in man coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
Malachi Starks might be the guy. If you're gonna trust a guy in man coverage, I trust Malachi Starks. But look, he was a first round pick. I hate the fact that he went to Baltimore. By the way,
ding.
They did a really good job defense. They were able, and I want to address this whole Mike Green thing. I was a big Mike Green fan, and you know, Baltimore ends up taking him in the late in the second round. The reality is Baltimore can afford to take a pick like that. And it's so easy to say, watch him at Baltimore. He's going to eat. Well, yeah, they have a top five defense. I mean, Baltimore is one of the best defenses in the league with a built-in pass rush already. Of course Mike Green's going to eat. He's going to go there, have veteran leadership, and just be like, hey, man, come along at your own rate, and you're going to be lined up opposite all these guys. So it's so much easier to predict Mike Green being good in Baltimore if all the character concerns are just concerns. So easy to say that. That's like me saying, you know, walking in the room saying, I bet that guy's tall. I bet Mike Johnson's bigger because I know how tall you are, and you're normally the tallest guy in the room. It's dumb. It's just silly. It's this cop-out. Xavier Watts, though, dude, he is a ball hawk with high-level football IQ. Dude's going to be good. And Billy Bowman is very athletic. That's why he's undersized for a safety, but he's athletic. He's fluid. He has played that nickel spot in college at times where he lined up in the box there and in the run game. They went and addressed best player available for their needs. I love the first four picks. Jack Nelson is one. It's a seventh round pick. I don't mean to knock the big fella, but you get what. Look, if he's on the roster after training camp, it's a good thing for this team.
Yeah, you get what you get kind of in the seventh round. Hey, I want to invite you guys. Let us know if you haven't already weighed in at 929 Morning Shift on Twitter. Want to hear what you think about the Jeff Ulbrich, Jax Ulbrich story Also, what you think about the Atlanta Falcons draft. When we come back, Allie's got a cool story you might not have known about the Atlanta Falcons draft. We'll also go in the huddle and get to some of the smaller stories from around the NFL over the weekend, man. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Squid, Allie, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, and Allie now officially hanging out with us. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're going to go in the huddle in just a second. Got a couple cool stories from around the NFL. Also be following up on the Jeff Ulbrich story, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Want to hear from you guys at 929 Morning Shift on the socials. Got a mic'd up coming up in the 740 segment. Got Tony Pauline on at 8:20, he'll be answering questions about the report he had about Jalen Walker possibly needing surgery and the slight draft fall for him. Also, Dave Archer will join us at 8:40 to kind of sum up the weekend and talk about how this roster looks as it sits right now. Allie, you had a really cool story this morning that I wasn't even aware of about our buddy Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I saw this on the AJC. So 13-year-old Bowen Harbuck, I want to give you a little bit of background and context on this. He got a huge surprise last week. He goes to Booth Middle School, and Bowen is a huge Falcons fan, and he actually won in his fantasy football league last year. Loves stats. His room is covered in memorabilia, and the last year, he's had a bit of a tough time because he went into septic shock, ended up losing his arm, had to be amputated. Oh, no. But while he was in the hospital, Bowen was linked up with this nonprofit group called Dream on 3 Georgia. And they got in touch with Bijan to deliver a really, really cool message.
What's up, Bowen? This is Bijan, bro. Hey, first off, I just want to say I'm praying for you. I know that, you know, some unfortunate stuff happened, but you know what? We're going to bounce back even better than what we were. But hey, I have a surprise for you, bro. So you're about to make the pick at the 2025 NFL Draft on Saturday. I need you to be ready. I need you and your family to get ready to go to Green Bay. You guys are about to have the best time. You're about to make one of our best players that we might ever have. You're about to make that pick. And I hope I meet you one day. I hope, you know, me and you just dap it up, have a conversation, and, you know, keep it on going from there. But, man, praying for you. Hope you have a great time on Saturday, and We'll see you soon.
With the 218th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select
Jack Nelson, tied tackle from Wisconsin.
Yay! Great job.
Atta boy.
I love that. So you probably saw him on TV over the weekend. I have a feeling, though, this is not the end. We're going to see more from Bijan and Bowen as the season gets going, because this is pretty much a lifelong bond going on there.
Yeah, with all the negative headlines that you feel like coming about Atlanta Falcons, we've been talking about all day. We'll get to more here in just a second, but it is nice to see that piece, man. Shout out to Bijan for getting that. Dude, it's funny because, man, you see these guys drafted, and at a certain point, you're like, this guy's growing up before our eyes. Not that he wasn't a grown man when he was a rookie a couple years ago, but you're like, you see these guys get more comfortable in situations like that, although Bijan has always been that way. So good with words. Nice work. That's a cool story.
I've gotten to get to know Bijan in his two seasons here. And, I mean, he walked in as one of the most amazing guys I've ever been around in that setting, you know, in the team setting. He just is unbelievably an amazing human being. He's the nicest guy you'll meet, the most respectful. He really cares. You know, he in every interview that he ever does with us, or every time, you know, he mentions his faith. And he is literally, like, he's the kind of guy that you want your kid to put a jersey on, and that's the name and number they have on, they're wearing on their back. He is the perfect one. You know, you said it. A lot of guys get a lot of negative rap, and sometimes you even hear about people's kids getting negative raps. And he's not it, man. He is absolutely salt of the earth human being.
Well, speaking of people's kids, Dylan, let's go in the huddle. Yeah, we'll get to the Jax Olbrich saga. I'm going to call it a saga. The Jax Olbrich saga in just one second. The name Atlanta Falcons popping up in the news for the wrong reasons once again, but, you know, not technically their fault, but we'll talk about that in one second. I do want to get to guys just down the road, obviously inside the division. One quote-unquote retired wide receiver is headed back to a division foe. That is Mr. Hunter Renfrow, who retired over a year ago from the Las Vegas Raiders. And there's been whispers about him coming out of retirement. Now he joins, Bo, I don't want to call him loaded wide receiver room, because you really don't know what you have. But obviously, first rounder last year, and Xavier Leggett, Tet McMillan, Adam Thielen. You go top to bottom. Hunter Renfrow kind of fits into that room. So just interesting to note that he is now back in Carolina. He went to Clemson, and obviously, as a Bama guy, has left a scar on my heart.
Well, I don't think he ever actually retired. That was kind of the funny part about it, is he was mentioned to have retired, and he was like, really? Guess I better stop training, trying to get ready for the season. He just, you know, injuries really derailed him. At one point in time, dude was unreal. Do they still have Adam Thielen there?
Yes, they do.
So, Thielen, Renfrow, they got McMillan, and they got Leggett, that's who it is.
Yes.
They've got a pretty good receiver room right now. They've clearly invested in making and they also got ETN, Trevor, who's a running back that's very good at Georgia fans know him, Florida fans know him, but he's very good at catching the ball in the backfield. They have put together what they think is a solid offense for Bryce Young to get better at, and we saw Bryce Young get better in front of our eyes last season. That's why the Falcons went defense. It's one of the reasons why the Falcons went defense heavy, is Baker and his weapons down in Tampa. I don't care what New Orleans is doing. None of it really makes sense. But Carolina, what they're doing, those teams are getting better. You have to find a way. You just can't plan on outscoring them, because as we saw in week, 18 last year, that didn't work out well for the Falcons, even with Penix playing at a high level.
Yeah, a couple of other stories going on around the NFL. The Commanders have reached an agreement for a new stadium with the District of Columbia. That'll go at the site of the old RFK. That's much needed. That place is a dump, to put it lightly, the old FedEx Field. I don't even know what it's called now. And Caleb Lohner, I thought this was pretty cool. Caleb Lohner, a tight end from Utah, drafted by the Denver Broncos in the 7th round, had 57 snaps in his college football career, Bo. 57 snaps. I came out the same year as Jimmy Graham. Sean Payton trying to kind of recreate this, I guess, Jimmy Graham mold, but Caleb Lohner would be one to keep an eye on. 6'7", 245. Look, Travis Hunter played three times that amount of snaps each game in college, and Caleb Lohner gets 57 his entire college career, but obviously something to work with.
Well, and we know that they could have literally the polar opposite careers, and it not be, you know, it not be Travis Hunter's fault at all. You just never know what's going to happen. Look, I love to kill Sean Payton, but if anybody can do it, Taysom Hill, Jimmy Graham, it's Sean Payton. Sean Payton found something with this guy's game that he likes, that he thinks he can exploit and get the most out of and hurt other teams. And so there's nothing that tells me that this is a bad pick. And again, in the seventh round, like we talked about with Jack Nelson, you get what you get out of it. And Whatever it is, it could be a plus. I will say this real quick, too, about the site of the Washington Stadium moving to RFK. Thank God. Because the only thing – I hate the stadium they're in now. And the only enjoyment I get out of there is looking at the outline of where Sean Weatherspoon ended RG3's career, essentially.
Yeah. There's like a chalk line right there.
Yeah,
we might actually – I tell you what, once they get rid of that stadium, we might just sneak up there and put a small trophy or a statue in the outline of RG3. Real quick before we go to break, we've covered it all day. The Jax Olbrick saga, I'm calling it. Jeff Olbrick's son gets Shedeur Sanders' phone number. He's part of that prank call, unfortunately. It's a bad look, guys, from every single direction. Allie said it earlier. It's like Shedeur actually comes away from this, and you feel bad for the guy, man. It's one of the darkest moments, really, of his life.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, had I been in that situation or a lot of other people, you're expecting that call. Shedeur at least was able to get outside the moment and realize something weird was going on and didn't overreact, really. I think I would have missed it. I would have done a total bypass and been like, I'm going to the Saints.
Yes.
I totally would have fallen for it. But
been waiting on you to call.
Exactly. Exactly. So I do think, though, he didn't overreact. He actually showed some grace in that situation.
Spot on.
I just can't imagine all those cameras on you when that kind of prank is being played, when it is the biggest day of your life.
Yeah, the biggest day, Bo, and one of the lowest points, I want to say, because of the draft tumble, which everybody's talked about till we're blue in the face. We don't need to kind of, you know, reconvene on that, man, but –
Yeah, I don't like mean-spirited pranks. I love pranks. I think it's fun. I told you earlier, we played a prank on a buddy of ours literally last night that was not mean-spirited. We were just joking, but we know each other, right? And it's okay. This was mean-spirited. There's nothing funny about trying to capitalize off someone else's misfortunes, and that's what this is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And I think Allie's spot on. There's probably a lot of people that doesn't matter any which way. It's just not funny. It's not something that good people do. He's got a lot of growing up to do. I'm not saying that Jax Olbrick and whoever the other clown was are bad people, but they have a lot of growing up to do, and you just put yourself in a bad light.
Yeah, you definitely
shame
did.
Shame on you. Shame.
You definitely did. Shame. Shame. Game of Thrones. Look, man, when we come back, I got a cool mic'd up. You guys are not going to want to miss from Bill Belichick over the weekend. One of the more awkward moments that I've ever seen on television. I mean, I swear we are living in some kind of alternate universe at this point, looking at Bill Belichick. We're also going to talk more about those Atlanta Braves. Spencer Schwellenbach was on the bump. He got a quality start, but did he? Did he deserve the quality start? Ozzie Albies also continues to come up just a little bit short. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Squid, Allie, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Morning Shift rolling along here at about 7:41. Mike, Squid, Allie hanging out. Hopefully you guys are fighting the good fight out there on 285 or 75 or whatever it may be.
Mike.
Yo.
I got to ask Allie a question before we get into this stuff.
Here we go.
What's this? I think if you guys don't know, Allie has been music radio all of her career, right?
Yeah.
Until recently.
Yes.
Now that you were doing sports, but you worked at country stations, you worked at pop stations or top 40, right?
Correct.
What is this stagecoach thing that happened over the weekend?
It's a festival.
It's such a good question.
Yeah, it's a festival where basically music acts go out there. Like Coachella, like there are music acts that go out there, and it's more of a country theme.
So the reason I ask is we're leaving the baby picture, the newborn picture thing, whatever, the photo shoot that we talked about earlier. And it's probably feeding time for Pork Chop, and she got a little fussy on the way home, and I was like just moving around channels, and it said, I mean, Mike and I are both. I'll give Mike credit. I was a big BlackBerry smoke
Once
guy.
In your life.
He turned me on to Whiskey Myers. He said, if you love Blackberry Smoke, you'll love Whiskey Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been to Whiskey Myers concerts together. And I see Whiskey Myers at Stagecoach. I go, what is this? And I thought it was like, because sometimes on Sirius Radio, it looks like an advertisement. They'll have advertisements. Yeah. They'll have, like, whoever's advertising will be labeled like it's a song. So I thought it was an advertisement. And it was literally Whiskey Myers playing, and it was a concert. It was like this whole – they basically – I heard it multiple times on there, and I'm like, hey, this is Wolf by Whiskey Myers. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to dive in with Allie on, like, some of the musicians or music stars that she's met over the years. And, like, get the dirty grit. Yeah.
Like, some I don't want to know about. If you have anything negative to say about Blackberry Smoke or Whiskey Myers, please keep it yourself.
Anything negative I have to say about anyone, I'll keep to myself because I don't want to destroy an image for anyone.
I just meant between us. I feel like an off-the-air thing, but I didn't expect you to do it on the air. I mean, I'll talk about Bill Lambert being a jerk on the air because he was to me. Huge jerk. But that was obviously a, you know, 80s Piston. But I didn't know what it was, and I was like, I thought it was really cool because I love – there's some bands to me that are really good live, and so hearing that. But I just had no clue about the Stagecoach
Whiskey
thing.
Myers is one of them. I wonder about Stagecoach, too, because – and again, we'll get to the Braves in just a second. I wonder about Stagecoach, too, because you're just coming off of – what was the other one? Coachella.
Yeah, Coachella.
And Coachella now is two weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've, like, now all of a sudden it feels like, you know, you just know, okay, everybody's out west.
Right.
You know, like, and I don't think – Coachella is not, like, a specific music, right?
No.
It's a little bit of everything.
I think that's a lot of arts, too. I mean, that's a kid's game. That's a young kid's game.
Yes.
Going out to a festival two weekends in a row?
Yes.
Are you crazy?
Yes.
Stagecoach, I think, was mainly country-based, and they've really opened it up. Like, I saw Backstreet Boys were performing there this weekend. So it's not really country-based anymore. It's open.
Oh, okay. That is interesting. We got so many good topics. We got to go to the Braves though, and talk for just a second about the Braves before we get to Mike Dupp. Be about 5 minutes from now. We're going to talk about the CBS Sunday mornings yesterday and the awkwardness. And I swear, like I said, we are living in a simulation with this Bill Belichick thing. But the Braves yesterday, Bo, they fall in the third game of their series against the Diamondbacks. They still win the series, but I brought this up earlier. Ozzie Albies is not playing well right now. And honestly, it's starting to be for an extended amount of time. We blamed it on the toe last year and everything else. Spencer Schwellenbach, 3 earned and 6, gets a quality start, but also a massive error. And the Braves come up short, man. And it just kind of is what it is. You feel good about where they're headed, but feels like a game you could have swept the series yesterday.
I talked about it late last week that he has kind of gotten this royal pass from fans for some reason, and it's starting to be enough. Look, playing baseball games is part of it. And in 2022, he only played 64. In 2024, he only played 99. So that's part of it. But the fact that his own base percentage for me was .294 in 22. It was good in 23 when everybody was good. Then last year it was .303. This year it's under .300. I'm sorry, but for a middle infielder who is it has some pop in his bat, but on average, I mean, I think he's averaged out in his career in 9 years. He's got 145 homers, but last year he had 10. 22 he had 8. You know, he's had some down years for him. I need better than .288 on base percentage. I need him better than .216 with runners in scoring position. I can't have him. It's not even errors. He's just not been very sharp in the field either. And my middle infield right now it's kind of a hole. It's a hole at the plate, and it's just average in the field.
Yeah.
I can't have you be a hole at the plate and be just average in the field.
Yeah, a couple of frustrating moments yesterday for him. Obviously, you know, up to bat, Allie kind of brought this up earlier. It's like, dude, we're looking at Ozzie Albies coming up, and we're going, oh, man.
Bases loaded, like, oh,
dude,
no.
Like, oh, man. I genuinely was like, oh, yeah, hey, got a rally. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, it just is what it is. He's right there. And we've talked about it. He's in that flaps. There's no reason to pitch to Matt Olson right now. And Michael Harris is behind him, and he's not he has started to heat up. I was all over Michael Harris for the first few weeks of the season. He's starting to hit the ball hard as well, but he goes over yesterday. When you have, you know, 4, 5, and 6 go 0 for, I don't even know what the total is, you know, 0 for 13 or something like that yesterday, you're not going to win many games. And it goes back to the conversation we had numerous times last year and the year before. hopefully you don't get into the cycle, Bo, where it's like when you can't score more than four runs, you don't win.
Yeah, well, look, didn't happen Saturday night. Didn't happen Friday night. They combined 16 runs in the first two games, and it was a slugfest Saturday night. It was a they were trailing that game late in the eighth inning. They actually took the lead, and then you go to the or it's the ninth inning actually, and Raisel Iglesias gives it up, gives up another, blows another save. He was the fourth home run to Suarez. I'm about ready to say, why don't we give Deisabel Hernandez those opportunities?
Wow!
Because you can't keep doing it, and he's been the best pitcher out of the bullpen all year.
Sounding the alarms.
But look, let's give some credit. This team still has a. They could have a. They win. If I'm not mistaken. They do play tonight. The series starts tonight in Colorado. Correct?
Yes.
It's
8:40 Eastern start time.
It's a four game series. You win the first three. You finish April at 500. You're 12-8 since an 0-7 start. So they are only three games off of Philadelphia, who's 15-13 in second place. The Metropolitans are kind of the class of the division right now at 19-9. Yeah. So for as bad as it started, this team is kind of righted the ship. And I would like to remind people that, yeah, we can sit here and look, it's disappointing you didn't get to sweep yesterday because I thought you had a real chance at it. That's a Diamondbacks team that came into that series at 14-11. They're a pretty good team and probably the best division in baseball.
Yeah.
At least right now, anyways, with four teams over 500, the only bad spot is the Rockies. And that's why this Rockies series is so important.
It's huge, man.
They're 4-23, Mike.
They're on track to be the worst team in the history of baseball. And that's saying something after the White Sox last year. So
take care of business, right? Three or four?
Yeah. Deal with business. Look, speaking of dealing with business, dude, this Bill Belichick thing yesterday, just stay plugged with me for a minute. As a reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Had some over the weekend. Absolutely smashed Buffalo's Cafe's chicken wings. If you haven't dealt with them, you can go online at buffaloscafe.com to figure out the nearest spot near you. I know there's one on 92 up there that was probably in Bo's range that is probably going to get dominated very, very quickly.
That's right.
All right, so I want to pivot. If you guys don't catch, I don't know, Sunday morning news, I don't blame you. I don't either. All right, but it came across the socials yesterday that Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, and I think I know why, Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, was on CBS Sunday Mornings yesterday. One of the most awkward interviews of all time. It was like at least 10 minutes as far as airtime goes on the network. Asked about numerous things, but at one point, guys, you know they had to pivot to his girlfriend. And look, it is what it is at this point. Everybody knows about it. And the first question went about like, well, you know, she's staying around. Let's talk about it.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
As if you weren't already feeling at that point, guys, like we're slightly living in a simulation where the greatest NFL hard, you know, coach of all time has his 24, 25-year-old girlfriend in the room. Follow along with this next part, because if you didn't already feel awkward and squirm in your chair, this next part got even worse.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Why?
She comes, dude, she's in the room. She's like his PR. I think he called her in the interview or in his book his creational or creative muse or something like that. Bro, big, like the biggest pause ever. Because, and I teased Allie earlier. I was like, Allie's going to tell us about the time she dated an old man. And maybe that's true. I don't even know. We've never even talked about that topic. I think it's hilarious. Yeah, exactly. We're not talking about this.
We're not talking about this.
Dude, it's so awkward, though.
Think about this, though. This is went from he was leaving her, you know, sorority house or whatever it was without a shirt to she is full, like, got, I don't want to use the phrase, got her claws in. He's her
puppet.
Suck
her teeth in, dude.
He's her puppet. She wasn't asked the question. She's off camera. She's with the producer.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're not going to talk about it. There's video of her at K at UNC the spring game.
Yeah, yeah.
Where she's instructing them how to film it and how what plays they're going to run for them to film.
Dude,
I mean, I don't know. This is just it's really weird. It's all I don't know.
It's one of the craziest stories that we are that I don't even know what to say about it. You know, it was a big deal last week. I think Chris Russo got shut up by the producers on ESPN, like not allowing him to talk about it. I don't even know. Like, it's so awkward, Allie, to look at Bill Belichick squirm in his chair and not know where to go. It's like, somebody save me. And then it's his girlfriend, who is 50 years younger than him, is like, we're not talking about it.
It makes no sense. Like, that's a very normal question. Like,
sure.
Bo, can't Amy, how did you meet? We're not talking about it. What?
Yeah.
Why are you guarding that? That's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre. And to think of all people, Bill Belichick, who has mumbled and given three-word answers to every question he's ever been asked in a press conference, for him to agree to sit down to that, though. Like, that was my question. Like, and both of y'all can touch on it. Like, why did he agree to do this if he's not going to answer that question? He has the book come out. It was, like, the whole interview, the first thing is, like, you know, you didn't mention Robert Kraft at all in the book. He's not even in the acknowledgments. And Bill goes,
Yeah. Well, he agreed to do it because she told him to.
That's but, like, what's the upside? From her point, like, what's the upside?
I think it feels like, to me, she's building her brand.
Well, they had Instagram photos that they were showing, so maybe she does want more followers with all that yoga that they were doing.
And there's no, and it's just like anything else. When you refuse to answer something, you just leave it open for speculation. You lose the creative control over that. You control the narrative when you say, hey, I mean, now I'm like, I don't know, they meet at a strip club? I don't know. Was she an escort? I don't know. That I don't know that. I'm not saying that's true, so don't put it out there. I'm just saying, how do we know how they met if you're not going to talk about it? Yeah. Like, it could have been it could be a beautiful story. Was he friends with her dad? Yeah. I don't know.
Dude,
like,
there's got to be something. Her dad, she might have been friends with one of his sons that are both coaches at UNC.
But the problem with what she just did is she's leaving it where all these people who want to pin negative things to their relationship have creative control over it. Because you lost it. Who were we talking about a while back, Mike, where I said, if you refuse to talk about something, you can't control the narrative.
Yeah.
And that's such a – in this day and age, if you don't talk about something, you allow others to control the narrative when you could control it on your own. And, again, I don't know how they met. I was just saying that those could be ways because that's what's going to be thrown out there. But – control your narrative.
Yeah.
Own your truth.
Yeah.
Because I know
I'm not
my
talking
truth.
About this.
This hour been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Here's what I want to know. I got two questions for you guys. What's the widest age gap in a relationship you've ever had or gone on a date with? The widest age gap. All right. And then I also want to know, do you think there should be some sort of punishment for Jeff Ulbrich and or the Atlanta Falcons? 404-726-0929. The wake-up call comes up on the other side at the top of the hour. Stick with us. Sports Radio 929 The Game.